Hello, welcome to Children's Storytime. My name is Mehtab Sheikh, and I'm going to read to you tonight Dr. Nicholas is Ridiculous by Dan Goodman. Chapter 1, The Big Test. My name is AJ, and I hate tests. Tests are no fun at all. If you ask me, we should take all the tests and throw them into a giant garbage can. No, I take that back. If you ask me, we should throw all the tests into a giant paper shredder. Shredding paper is cool. Sometimes my dad lets me shred papers for him at home. I wish I could shred stuff all day long, especially tests. At school, the other day, we were minding our own business when our teacher, Mr. Granite, said the most horrible thing in the history of the world. Clear off your desk. It's time for a test. What? Everybody yelled. No, shouted Michael, who never ties his shoes. I didn't study for a test, shouted Ryan, who will eat anything, even stuff that isn't food. That's not fair, shouted Alexia, this girl who rides a skateboard all the time. You didn't tell us we were going to have a test, shouted Neil, who will call the nude kid even though he wears clothes. Everybody was freaking out. It was like we just heard the news that the meteor was about to destroy the Earth. Well, almost everybody was freaking out. I love tests, said Andrea Young, this annoying girl with curly brown hair. Me too, said her crybaby friend Emily, who agrees with everything Andrea says. Tests are fun. Those who probably study for tests when they could be watching TV or playing video games and having fun. What is their problem? Relax, said Mr. Granite. Every student in the state is taking this today. You don't have to study for it. The Board of Education just wants to find out how much you know. I'm Board of Education, I announced. Mr. Granite walked around the room and put a sheet of paper on each of our desks, face down. Do you all have a number 2 pencil? He asked. We all started giggling because Mr. Granite said number 2. Everybody knows what number 2 means, and it doesn't have anything to do with pencils. They should really use a different number for pencils so kids wouldn't confuse them with the other number 2. Take your time, Mr. Granite told us. These are the questions every American should be able to answer. In fact, many of these questions are given to people who want to become citizens of our country. What if I don't know the answer? I asked. Don't worry, AJ, said Mr. Granite. This test will be a piece of cake. It didn't look like a piece of cake to me. It looked like a piece of paper. What did cake have to do with taking a test anyway? Hey, maybe we're going to get a cake after we finish taking the test. When I say go, turn over your test sheet, said Mr. Granite, ready, set, go. Chapter 2, A Piece of Cake. I turned over my test sheet and looked at the questions. There were 14 of them. The top line said we had to fill in the blanks. I grabbed my pencil. Who was the first president? Well, that was easy. I wrote down the answer, Abraham Lincoln. Next. Question number 2. What is the 4th of July? A dumbheaded knows that. I figured it had to be a trick question like, what color is the White House? I wrote down the answer. It's the 4th day in July. Hey, this test wasn't going to be so hard after all. Question number 3. Where was the Declaration of Independence signed? I had to think about that one for a minute. I've seen my mom and dad sign contracts and stuff at home. I wrote at the bottom. Question number 4. Can you name the 13 original colonies? Colonies? That was a simple. I wrote, yes, I can. What are these branches of our government? I wasn't sure about this one, Mr. Granite told us. About 3 somethings I remember, so I wrote them down. The Nina, the Pina, and the Santa Maria. Question number 6. Where does freedom of speech come from? Any dumb head knows that, I wrote, your mouth. Question number 7. Name one benefit of being a citizen of the United States. There's a lot of good things of our country, but there was only room for one answer, so I wrote candy. Question number 8. Who did the fight in the Revolutionary War? I had no idea who fought in the Revolutionary War. I looked around to see if I could copy that answer from somebody else. Little Miss Know-It-All was sitting in front of me and she knows everything. Psst, I whispered to Andrea, who did we fight in the Revolutionary War? I'm not telling you, Andrea whispered back. That would be cheating, Elo. She calls me by my name because she knows I don't like it. I leaned over to Ryan, who was sitting next to me. Psst, who did we fight in Revolutionary War? The Garlic Empire, Ryan whispered to me. Ryan knows just about everything there is to know about Star Wars. So he had to write to be right. I know about the Galactic Empire. No talking, please, said Mr. Granite. Number 9. Who becomes the President of the United States? It says if the President should die. Easy, I wrote. Chuck Norris. Who makes the laws in the United States? Again, I wrote Chuck Norris. I was almost finished with the test. Question number 11. Who said give me liberty or give me death? I leaned over to Alexia, who was sitting on my other side. Psst, I whispered. Who said give me liberty or give me death? Henry, Alexia whispered. Henry who? Patrick, Alexia whispered. Well, which is it? I asked her. Henry or Patrick? Both, she whispered. No talking, please, said Mr. Granite. I wrote Henry and Patrick. Number 12. What are the duties of the Congress? I giggled because duties. Duties just sounds like duties, and we're not supposed to talk about that in school. But all I could think about was a bunch of politicians sitting on toilet bowls. I wasn't sure what to write, so I just put down number 2. Question number 13. Who invented a light bulb? I have no idea. Psst, I whispered to Michael, who was sitting behind me. Who invented the light bulb? Bob Lightbulb, he whispered back. Bob Lightbulb. I never heard of anybody named Bob Lightbulb. Michael may have been yanking my chain, but I know that a lot of stuff was named after people who invented it, like McDonald's, and that vacuum cleaner was named after President Hoover. Maybe Michael was right. I wrote Bob Lightbulb. Question number 14. Who helped the Pilgrims when they came to America? When the Pilgrims came to America, they probably had to chop down the trees, build their own houses, work on all kinds of do-it-yourself projects like that. So there could be only be one answer, and I wrote down Home Depot. Finally, the dumb test was finished. Andrea was done before anybody else, of course. She was sitting there all proud of herself. Mr. Granite came around and collected our papers. Now, that wasn't so bad, was it? He asked. It was a piece of cake, Andrea announced. Why is everybody always talking about cake? And why can't a truck full of cakes fall on Andrea's head? Hey, where's Dr. Nicholas? I thought this book was supposed to be about Dr. Nicholas. I want my money back. Chapter 3, Bad News. After a few days, we were all forgotten about the dumb test. Life went on. Andrea was annoying as usual. I had a pee-wee football game, and my team won. Ryan and it had his birthday, and his mom brought in brownies for the whole class. A week later, Mr. Granite was trying to teach us math when an announcement came over the loudspeaker. All classes, please report to the hall, all-purpose room for assembly. Not again, yelled Mr. Granite. Every time he tries to teach us math, we get called to assembly. We had to walk 100 miles to all the purpose room, which has a dumb name because you can't go scuba diving in there. Neil, the new kid, was the line leader. Alexa was the door holder. When we got to the all-purpose room, I had to sit between Andrea and Emily. Ugh. Andrea's elbow touched my elbow for a second, and I thought I was going to die. Our principal, Mr. Kultz, was waiting for us on the stage. He has no hair at all. I mean, none. I bet his head slips off the pillow when he's trying to sleep at night. I just got the results back from the test you took last week, Mr. Kultz announced. I hope we did well, Emily whispered to Andrea. I know. I got all the answers right, Andrea whispered back. I looked up in my encyclopedia when I got home. Our school did horrible, Mr. Close announced. What, everyone guessed? Elementary school got the worst scores in the whole country, said Mr. Close, shaking his head sadly. I went to a meeting and the principal of Margaret's grade school was laughing at me. Clearly, children don't know the basic history. I hate to say this, but if we don't bring up our test scores, our school's going to be closed. I jumped up from my seat. Yay! I shouted, no more school, no more school, no more school, no more school. I figured everybody was going to jump up from their seats and start chanting. No more school with me. I looked around. Nobody else was standing. Nobody else was chanting. Everybody was looking at me. Oops, I hate when that happens. I sat back down in my seat. You probably got all the answers wrong, Arlo, Andrew whispered to me. I bet that's why our school did so poorly. Your face got all the answers wrong, I whispered back to Andrea. That doesn't even make any sense, Arlo. Your face doesn't make any sense, I told Andrea. Everybody was talking, whispering to each other until Mr. Close held up his hand and made a peace sign, which means shut up. I have decided to bring a professor from a local college to help teach you students history, he announced. What? Everybody gasped again. We don't want to learn history from some boring college teacher, somebody yelled. Everybody was upset, even some of the teachers. Oh, you're going to like Dr. Nicholas, Mr. Close told us. She's a world-famous historian who has traveled everywhere and written many books about history. She was even on Oprah. Everybody guessed and said, wow, which is mom upside down? What was she doing on Oprah, asked Ryan. She should get off Oprah, said Micah. Oprah could get hurt, said Alexia. Is Oprah okay, said Emily. Who's Oprah, I asked. Dr. Nicholas will be coming into your classroom to teach you some basic history that everybody should know, said Mr. Klutz. Then a week from today, you'll get a chance to take the test over again. I think that with the help of Dr. Nicholas, you're going to score much higher. And I'll be able to laugh at those other principals. That will be icing on the cake. More cake. Why is everybody always talking about cake? And now Mr. Klutz said with a big sweep of his arms, I'd like to introduce Dr. Nicholas. Chapter 4. The Good Old Days. Dr. Nicholas came out on the stage. She looked really old. She had white hair tied up in a bun in the back. She walked with a cane really slowly. I've seen glaciers move faster than Dr. Nicholas. I could have run around the block in time it took her to get in the middle of the stage. Wow, that lady is old, whispered Ryan. She's even older than Mr. Doctor, I whisper. Mr. Doctor is our science teacher. I thought he was old, but Dr. Nicholas looks old enough to be Mr. Doctor's mother. She must know a lot about history because it's about 100 years old, whispered Neil and a new kid. Yeah, she probably lived through the most of it, whispered Alexia. Mr. Close told us to give Dr. Nichols a round of applause, so we clapped our hands in circles. Does everybody have any questions they would like to ask Dr. Nichols, said Mr. Close. Yeah, how old are you, I asked. That's not a nice question to ask a person ages, said Mr. Close. I don't mind, said Dr. Nichols. I am 92 years old and proud of it. How old are you, young man? I'm 8 years old, I said. 8, said Dr. Nicholas. Well, I was your age, I was 9. Everybody laughed, even though she didn't say anything funny. Did you ever meet Abraham Lincoln, asked Alexia. No, said Dr. Nicholas, but years ago I drove one of his convertibles. Were you alive when there were dinosaurs, asked Michael. Oh, yes, said Dr. Nicholas. In fact, I used to ride dinosaur to school. I'm pretty sure that Dr. Nicholas was yanking our chain. Everybody knows there was no school in dinosaur times. Besides, it would be hard to ride a dinosaur. They don't even make saddles for them. Dr. Nicholas would have had to ride a dinosaur bareback. But maybe she was telling the truth because old people don't usually make jokes. That's the first rule of being old. Ryan stood up to ask questions. My dad told me that when he was a kid, they didn't have video games or microwave ovens or food roll-ups, said Ryan. What was it like when you were a kid? Oh, the good old days, said Dr. Nicholas. When I was a young age, we didn't even have TV. What? Everybody gasps. No TV? I would die without TV. The only good thing about having no TV is that they couldn't have TV turned off week. The good old days sound like a bad old days to me. If I lived back then, I would have sat around all day saying, I wish somebody would hurry up and invent a TV already because I am bored. What did you stare at all day? I asked Neil, the new kid. What did you do for fun? We went out to play, replied Dr. Nicholas. What? There was a buzz in the hall, all-purpose room. Everybody was talking to each other. You mean the outdoors? Asked Andrea. Yes. Everybody gasped again. Didn't you get sunburned? Asked Andrea. Didn't your clothes get dirty? Asked Emily. What about bugs? Asked Michael. Wasn't it dangerous? Asked Alexia. Weren't you afraid of getting hit by a car? Asked Neil, the new kid. No, she was afraid of getting hit by a dinosaur, I told Neil. Oh, it was a wonderful time, said Dr. Nicholas. My friends and I used to play hopscotch, marbles, or hide and go seek. My favorite thing to do was jump rope. Did you ever jump rope? Oh, yes, said Brian. My sister has an app called Jump Rope Stimulator on her iPad. It's awesome. Dr. Nichols, were you on school jump rope team, asked Andrea, or we didn't have a team, said Dr. Nichols. We just jump rope for the fun of it. Out in the street. You played in the street. We all shouted. Now I knew she was yanking our chain. You would have to be crazy to play in the street. I bet she made up all the stuff about riding dinosaurs and Abraham Lincoln's convertible. My friends and I jumped rope anywhere, Dr. Nichols told us. In fact, I feel like jumping rope right now. That's when the weirdest thing in the history of the world happened. Dr. Nichols pulled a rope out of her pocket, then she swung it over her head and started jumping over it. Dr. Nichols is ridiculous. Well, I hope you enjoyed this chapter 1-4. Tomorrow, I'm going to read chapter 5, 6, and 7. I hope you hear me. Stay tuned for tomorrow. Thank you.